Motzei Shabbos of Slichas, Tavshanayan Dalid, Shmita Shir, and Shvatov Gutlach. Despite Rabbi Chiel's insistence that you should ask the Rav or your own Morah Hora about your kashrus questions, I asked him. Mrs. Neiman, where are you? Well, thank you for getting me to do this. I hope I thank you when I'm finished, is when I start. Please forgive me for sitting down. It's not l'fichlotchem, but I want to be all the regular this sukkahs, and therefore I have to take care of my foot, so that'll be mechuyev in the mitzvah that we all hope to do come Sukkot 2 weeks from now, around 2.5 weeks from now. So most of our lives, maybe it could arguably be said that much of our Jewish lives are governed by the Rabbanans. So the fact that most poskim hold that Shviyus Bezman Hazeh is the Rabbanon should not allow us to give a sigh of relief, although it has a certain comfort zone, as Rabbi Chiya likes to say, comfort zone. Of course, virtually all poskim, one could say a comfortable margin of most poskim hold, and certainly the assumption of all the Gedolei HaPoskim, from the Machmir to the Mekilim, hold that Shviyus Bezman Hazeh is the Rabbonim, for various reasons which you won't go into now. Shviyus, Shemitah, wow. If you just moved to Eretz Yisrael, I say, couldn't we have come a year from now? Well, the answer is that at least half of the 8th year, you're going to be busy with Shemitah also, at least with the food products of Shemitah, especially fruit. So you might as well jump into it now. And, you know, the earlier you come to Eretz Yisrael, the better you are, the better off you are. So Shemitah consists of forbidden agricultural avodos. You're not allowed to work the land. That has nothing to do with if the thing you're working on is fruit-bearing or not fruit-bearing. You're not allowed to work the land on Shemitah. Then we talk about the peros of Shemitah. The peros have to be made hefker by the balabayas, by the owner. The peros have what's called kedusha shvius, and you're going to hear this phrase a lot. It's kadosh. It's not kadosh like something that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash. It's not kadosh like something that's bedek habayis. There's no meila. Adarabba, the kedusha of shvius demands that we eat it, and that we eat it in the most in the ideal way, and that we don't waste it, and we don't throw it out, and we don't even eat it in an unusual way, which we'll be seeing about as we learn these halachas, Mitzvah Hashem. So, and then there's Shemitah's Ksafim, which we won't talk about. It's Pashtus, it takes place at the end of Shemitah, we have to worry about it. There's a Chumrah that's quickly becoming popular, which is to make a prusbul in the beginning of Shemitah. Ask your local rabbi how necessary it is. We won't be talking about Shemitah's Ksafim. So we'll be talking about the Isser Avoda, you know, how to work the land, and the Kedusha of the Peros that grow, and that's only Peros, it's only food products, and the fact that the Peros have to be Hefker, and the owner cannot act like a Balabais. I like to start off a discussion of Shemitah with the Chinuch, because it's important to understand what we're doing. And the Chinuch gives three reasons for Shemitah, three concepts for Shemitah, three principles, which are the Yesod of Shemitah. The first is probably the one most familiar to us, and that's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, sort of a super Shabbos. Shabbos is Kisheshus Yomim Asa Hashem Asa Shemayim V'Soretz Uvayom HaShvi Shavas V'Yinovas. The world was created. Wasn't always here. It was created by a creator. And that presupposes, and that therefore has the ramification that he had a purpose for creation of the world. That's already Slav 2. But the first Slav is that he created the world. And therefore he's the master of the world. Adon Olam. He is the master of the world, and we don't really own anything. We don't really own the money that we have. He allows us to have it and to use it, but it's His. Everything belongs to Him. Hashem Aretz Meloah. And that's part and parcel of Chiddush HaOlam. So the fact that we have this number 7, the Chinuch says, and the 7th day is Shabbos, and the 7th year is Shemitah, always reminds us that the world was created in 6 days, and on the 7th day He rested, and He, meaning the one that created the world, and thus the world has an Adon. So when you talk about being Mafkir the Peros, and He says don't work the land, and it's not really yours, and make it Hefker to everybody, that's all part and parcel of the realization that, again, that Hashem created the world, and He's the Adam. He owns it all. It's His kinyan. And we are just, at best, apotropsin, who take care of His money and His possessions. The second reason the Chinuch gives is to teach us the midah of generosity, being generous, right? Vatronus, the Chinuch calls it, to be mevater. Be generous. We shouldn't be small-minded, we shouldn't be selfish, we shouldn't be self-centered, and we should give and be generous with our possessions and share it with others. That's reason number 2. And reason number 3 is to implant in us the midah of bitachon. To keep Shabbos, one has to have bitachon. Maybe not in the modern world so much, ever since the Industrial Revolution and then the 5-day work week. So, Shabbos, big deal. You know, Shabbos is easy. Shabbos is not easy. Shabbos historically has never been easy. You have to stop working one day. If we don't feel it so much in the way we're set up with the way we work, maybe that's because Hashem is a little nervous about giving us the nisayon that previous Doros had. Maybe He's nervous what we would do about that nisayon, so He took away the nisayon, and He made it relatively easy to keep Shabbos in terms of Parnasa, in terms of bitachon. But Shemitah already, you can't get away from that. So again, to the consumer, I don't have a farm, and it's no big, you know, Shemitah, so I can't work the field. So I will have flowers in my backyard, or I won't have flowers in my backyard, like big deal. But our food comes from farms, and someone has to, and animals eat plants, you know, and so the food has to come from somewhere. And if you don't plant for a year, it's, you know, manochal bashana shviyas, heinlo nizra lo nesof es tuosenu. So you have to have bitachon, and it really is it's a super Shabbos in terms of bitachon. Shabbos is one day a week. Shemitah is the whole year. You need bitachon every day. And in a way, that bitachon is a little harder, because it's kochi votzim yodi. I work, and I am the farmer, or I go to work, and I earn a paycheck, but I have to maintain my understanding that it's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in a way, that's harder. In a certain way, that's harder to do when I'm working, and that's why Zeroyim is called Emunas, because I'm working and I'm putting all my kochos into the field, and then I have to realize that it's from Hashem, and I have to have bitachon that He's going to make it all work. But you really, a different type and a more intense bitachon you have to have, obviously, to go for a whole year without doing any work, without growing any produce. So what's going to be? Okay, so those are the 3 Chavos Halvavos, we'll call it, of Shviyas. Hashem is the master of the world. He created the world, so He's the master of it. To be generous and to have bitachon. The first and the third reason is probably explains why Shemitah is considered, at least on the Adiraisa level, presumably on the Drabanan level also, it gives us our hold in Eretz Yisrael. Oz Tirtzah Oretz HaShabbos Oseho, unfortunately, they went into Golos for the Avon Shemitah, but the reverse, and then the reverse is also true, that it's keeping Shemitah that solidifies our hold on Eretz Yisrael, because if you look in the first Rashi in Brachos, our hold in Eretz Yisrael is based on saying that Hashem Brachos Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Ves HaOretz, and He decided to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. Gemarnu, that's it. That's all that has to be said, and that's all that should be said. And therefore, the idea that Hashem is the Adon of the world, and certainly the third reason of the Chinuch, the idea of bitachon, Eine Hashem Elokecha b'mereshus Hashana v'adach Rishana, and the rain in Eretz Yisrael and living in Eretz Yisrael, as we all know, certainly requires a level of bitachon. So that's why Shemitah is, I don't know that's why, but according to these two reasons, it's more understandable why keeping Shemitah, as I say, solidifies our hold in Eretz Yisrael. Be'ezras Hashem. So we have the Isser Avoda, which we'll talk about first. Briefly, nothing, please. I'm not responsible for anything I say. Meaning, no paskening based on what I say. If something sounds a little strange, whether it's Lakula or Lachumra, please double check with me after the shiur, by email, by telephone call. We're trying to cram a heck of a lot into very little time. And I'll try not to get into details, because that would be an utter impossibility. And psak, halacha, the devil is in the details, as we all know. So please don't paskin based on something you think you heard I said or I meant. Just check with me if it sounds a little weird. Probably you should check with me even if it doesn't sound weird. Okay. So the Isser Avoda, there's an anomaly in Shemitah which makes all the difference in the world. We're used to Shabbos where there's Avos and Toldos, and right where the principle is the Avos, Harisha, Zriya, Ketzira, and then we have things which retain the concept of the Malacha, but the action takes on a different form, and those are called Toldos. And Shemitah, the Gemara says, it's only what the Torah mentions that's Osir B'Dioraisa. And that's Zriya, planting seeds, probably including trees as well. Yeah, we're not going into Prata now. Probably including trees as well. And Tizmor, which is pruning, which stimulates growth. So you have planting or sowing seeds, and Zmira, pruning in a way that stimulates the growth of the tree. That's Medioraisa. You can't reap the field, Katsira and Betsira, which according to most means like a balabas, like a balabias. So that has to do with the fact that the fruit are hefker. So we really, when we talk about agricultural avodos being usher, we don't really have to talk about tonight. We don't have to talk about Katsira and Betsira, because that's a function of the peros being hefker. And Harisha, and it's also the plow. That's a mitzvah saseh, not a mitzvah lo saseh. That's not mentioned in Parshas Bahar, that's mentioned in other places, either Alach L'Moshe Mitzinai, or Bachorish, or Bachotzer Tishbos refers to Shemitah. Then you have the Rabbanon. With the Rabbanon, you have things where maybe watering, fertilizing, weeding, spraying. These are all also with the Rabbanon. So the big, the loophole, because it's not a loophole, it's mutter, it's not even a loophole. But the biggie that's nogeya us is that malachos de rabbanon are mutter to do so that the plant shouldn't die. To avoid hefset, to avoid the hefset of the payrolls. Again, there are nuances. There's the hefset of the tree, the hefset of the tree, and then there's the hefset of the payrolls. How far do you take hefset? If you don't do this malacha drabanan, whatever it is, whether it's weeding or spraying or watering or fertilizing, and it'll produce a markedly lower quality tree. So is that called a hefsid, which would make it mutter to do? So different hechsherim allow the malachos drabanan to be done. Again, the yesod is the same. Malachos drabanan are mutter to avoid hefsid, and to avoid if the plant would die. How far do we extend that? How far do we push the envelope in allowing a malacha drabanan to be done so that it doesn't produce a fruit that nobody would eat? Because tiny face apples or whatever it is, right? So is that called a hefset that would allow malacha drabanan? So that's an issue. And that has to be paskin by the Beis Din that's overseeing that particular farm, whether they've signed, right? I guess unless you signed up with the Heta Mechira, but the Heta Mechira supposes one of the huge kulas of Heta Mechira, even if we go beyond the Mechira, is that they allow avodos to be done, which is you know, a question if the mechira could take away the kedusha of the land. Maybe it just takes away the kedusha of the peiros, not the kedusha of the land. So there's a lot of kulos involved besides the very fact if the mechira is something that should be taken seriously or not. But even beyond that, there's a lot of kulos involved. But if you sign up with any other bezdin, the bezdin of Otsa Haaretz, for example, or the Haredes has farms under its guidance, or other gufim now popped up that have farms signed up with them, so they give the horaos to the farmers. And they say, this you're allowed to do, and this you're not allowed to do, and, you know, and there's a hashgacha over it, and they decide what can be done, again, to, how far to push the envelope. That'll be one of the major issues. How much avoda can be done on Shemitah, that's mutter. You know, what's mutter, and where do you cross the line? And it's already called, being mashbiach, the land, being mashbiach, the fruit, being mashbiach, the tree, not just avoiding a loss. Cutting grass is something that you're familiar with. You know, is it, again, this is avodas hakarka. It has nothing to do with peiros or not. It has nothing to do with if it's producing edible food or not. Avodas karka is asur. Cutting grass lenoi, right? That's what you're cutting it for, so that it shouldn't be overgrown. It should look decent. Maybe to avoid snakes, a snake in the grass. You don't want to avoid snakes in the grass, which can happen. So the principle is, the principle is to make sure that the cutting of the lawn is not producing a beneficial effect, making the grass grow better. That's what you want to avoid. And you talk to a gardener or a knowledgeable rav, and he'll tell you exactly how often to cut it, how high it should be. You're going to be cutting it less, and you're going to be leaving it higher and thicker than you would in a normal year. But what I want to, you should have straight in your heads, is the principle of the matter. You can't cut the grass in a way that will stimulate growth, that will be beneficial for the growth of the grass. The machlokas, I know gardeners, bachlau, where they're mowing the lawn. Some say, ah, you mow the lawn, that makes it grow faster. And some say, that's narishkeit, no way, it doesn't do that. So again, you'll talk to your gardener, make sure he's knowledgeable about Hilchos Shemitah, not just cavalier in his attitude, and a rav, and you'll be able to plan out cutting the grass. The same with watering. Again, watering is mutter to avoid it turning brown, to avoid it dying, to avoid it, right, that's what then you're allowed to water. So how often you should water? People tend to overwater, it says in all the gardening books. They give too much water. So you don't want to do that on Shemitah, because it might be beneficial for the growth of the plant, but not, all you're allowed to do is to prevent that the plant shouldn't wither away and shouldn't die. So, and that's going to be nogeya for plants in the house as well, as we'll soon see, to what degree do you have to keep Shemitah on the plants of the house in terms of agricultural avodos. So mostly it's nogeya. Mostly, I think, it's nogeya, the Rabbanon, I think we're not going to go plant, that we know not to do, but we want to avoid even the Avalachas Rabbanon, of course, unless it's mutter, to avoid, again, the hefset of the plant. There's an interesting shaila, which is really a fundamental shaila, and it's a major shaila, and that is to plant something now in a way that it will take root on Shemitah. We all know that fruit trees couldn't plant already after Tu B'Av or Tezayanov. That has to do with Orla. That's a different cheshbon. But the very fact, can you plant something now that will take root on Shemitah? So what's the Shaila? I can do something on Erev Shabbos, and I can turn on the water, and I could turn on the water Friday, and my lawn could be watered the whole Shabbos if I avoid Marasayan maybe. But I make a Shabbos clock, and then there's no problem. So some people do make computer-driven Shabbos clocks for the whole Shemitah in order to water their lawn, not just the minimum that you're allowed to do, but if they're not doing anything, right, it's being done automatically, and it was set up Erev Shemitah on the 6th year, so you can have a computer-driven watering which has all the watering you want. Some hold that's also. What's the deal? There's a very fundamental principle here. The machlokas of Shlomo Zalman, the tzal is machmir, chazanish is mekil, That is Shemitah like Shabbos, that the only prohibition is for the person to do work. So if I do anything on Erev Shemitah, it doesn't matter what happens on Shemitah. I worked on Erev Shemitah. I didn't do anything on Shemitah, and that's okay. It's like Shabbos. Others say that the Pasuk says, V'shof Sahoretz, Shabbos Lashem, and there's a fundamental difference that the Oretz has to rest as well. You could compare it to Shvisas Kalim, if you ever heard the term on Shabbos, where Beis Shammai holds your Kalim have to rest also. So the Oretz has to rest. And really the literal meaning of the words, V'shof Sahoretz, Shabbos Lashem, would seem to indicate that. And therefore, as long as I'm on hold, you can't plant something within, let's say, any plant, no matter how, anything, that any plant you plant within 3 days of Shemitah, let's say the most simplest root system, but if it's less than 3 days before Shemitah, it will take root on Shemitah. And he holds that's also, the Chazon Ish holds it's mutter. So therefore, maybe some Shemitah books you read will say that you can plant regular, let's say, not trees, but you can plant up till 3 days before Shemitah. Some will say you can plant up till a minute before Shkia, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on Shemitah. So it's totally in this machlokas. I mention it really only, well, first of all, you'll ask your Rav how to be noheg, if it's nogeya. But I wanted to speak it out really because to give you an idea of this fundamental machlokas. It's really a machlokas yisodi in the concept of Shemitah, whether it's just on the person or it's on the land as well, the Shav Sahoretz. And therefore, those that are more machmir will not allow the computer-driven watering, because then the watering, which is considered an avodas karka midrabanon, is taking place on Shemitah. Again, we're talking about in a way that's asur, because it's more than the minimum needed that the plant shouldn't die. That's what we're talking about. Otherwise, it's mutter to water. Then you can go and water it if it's just to prevent the death of the plant. But we're talking about doing more than that. So some hold it's mamash asur to set up such a system. I think, you know, again, you have to ask a shayla if you can do that or not. Any digging or cutting now starts. Oh my goodness, the tree, this is where I want to build my sukkah. The branches are going to be overhanging the sukkah. That's a problem. I need schach. Can I cut down my tree? Can I do it? Do I have to rush and do it now in the next few days before Rosh Hashanah? So the answer is, most of these things are mutter. As long as it's done, A and B. A, in a way that's not beneficial in any way to the tree, you'd have to double check. Now the gardener might laugh at you and say, there's no way that's beneficial. You know, you're chopping down branches to use for schach, that's not going to stimulate any growth. It could be, you have to check. You have to make sure it's not beneficial for growth. And B, it has to be nikar. It has to be, can't be a shail of marasayan, this is also, and you have to do it in a way that's nikar, that it's not beneficial. Now, many hold that if just the balabayas does it, not a gardener, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's just hacking away to get down things. So that's already a hecker that he's not doing it in a way that's beneficial for the growth. But that's the yisod. You can dig in your backyard and you can cut down a tree for the, if you need it, for, as I say, for schach, or to get it out of the way of the sukkah. As long as A, it's not beneficial for the growth, and you have to check on that just to make doubly sure where you cut it, how deep you cut it, what kind of tool you cut it with, will be the difference most of the time. And B, it should be nikar from the way you're cutting it and from the tool, from the digging, where you're digging. Some say if you're digging in order to put down pipes to run, you know, you want to put down pipes on the ground, so you should leave the pipes in the ground near you when you're working, so that it should be nikar that's what you're doing it for. You're not preparing your lawn for planting anything, right? So it has to be nikar as well. Some people might be in a bayis meshutaf, and there's a garden there, there's a gina, and maybe not everyone's from, and maybe the varabayis decided to be saimecha maybe on the heta mechira, and to do avodos in the gina, which would be osur, meaning avodos which are not just midrabanon, and necessary that the plants not get ruined, whether it's grass or other, or flowers or any other type of plants. So that's a problem, and you have to ask a shaila what to do, whether it's enough to earmark your money in the Vat HaBayis, that it shouldn't be used for things that you're following shitas, or that are also, let's say, not from at all, so they're just doing avoda. You don't have to worry what the city does. I don't know what the administration of the city is, but you don't have to be mafkir any part you may have in a national park if they're doing avodas there. But in the gina of your bias, that you do either have to, some say it's enough to earmark where your varabayis money goes, some say you have to be mafkir your share in that gina for shmita, so that it's not yours. And, so, because you're not allowed to let your field be worked on shmita, so you have to be mafkir. But that's something to keep in mind. Again, it's nogeya even to us who live in the city, but there would be a gina there, and someone might be doing malachas there, and if you're hiring a gardener that works on your garden, so you have to make sure he's knowledgeable and that he knows the halachas, and check with what he's doing, check with the rav. Sometimes they know more than a rav. In this case, it's usually the case. But they know, a knowledgeable gardener will they have courses. I know one gardener in particular took a course from Oitza Haaretz, and he got a certificate that he has learned Hilcha Shmita, and he knows, you know, what he can do, what he can't do, etc. You're going to be doing sponja on Shemitah, maybe, and there's going to be water dripping, and the air conditioner is going to be dripping, and the neighbors are going to be yelling, Shemitah! Shemitah! Like Shabbat, and they'll throw rocks at you, maybe. Yeah, your air conditioner is dripping. Most of the time, it's not a shaila. It's usually a grama. You're not doing it directly. Usually the water's dirty. It's not really beneficial. Even if it is beneficial, it's psikreshe, the lo nichale. You're either familiar with the phrase or you're not, and it's a grama, it's not direct. There will be people that will be makbid and will make sure that their air conditioner is not leaking. They'll put bleach in the sponge of water before they give it that final push. That may be a problem if it's direct, because you're pushing it directly onto plant life, on wherever the water is going, but that's already not grama, because you're pushing it directly. And there, you really should make sure that it's not beneficial in any way to wherever it's falling. So you do put bleach or something in it that would make sure of that. Some bleaches are very stimulating to plants, so be careful what you put in. Ask around what you should put in. If it's indirect and the grass has already been watered to the degree and you don't really care if it's watered more, the lo nichale and it's grama, usually those two factors are enough to say it's okay, don't worry about it. Or if the water's dirty or not beneficial to where it's dripping. If your kids are in a kiddie pool and a chanami, when don't worry about them splashing. I mean, that's already grama and secretion the lo nichale, that the kids are splashing away. They don't mean to do it. When you pick up the kiddie pool and you want to spill out the water, and the chanami, once again, you have to make sure you don't directly water anything that's underneath. Either avoid it. At the very least, it should be grama only. And, or put something in the water before you spill it out. But that could be a potential issue, right? If you're directly watering the grass or the plants or wherever it's falling. Again, if it falls on the sidewalk and then goes on the grass, it could be so much that that's grama and obsecration lo nichale. I don't know if everybody subscribes to this kula, but that's a pretty well accepted kula in the poskim, that you have these factors that makes it okay. But if you're directly spilling out the kiddie pool and then there's vegetation there, that is a problem. Right? You're directly watering grass and more than it needs not to die. And therefore, it's a potential problem, so you have to watch out for that. Plants, there's two types of plants are in a planter or a flower pot, right? It's not the ground, it's not the adama. So throughout Shas, there are two kinds. There's something called an otzitz nokuv. Otzitz is a flower pot, nokuv means it has a hole in it. And there's an otzitz she'eno nokuv, which doesn't have a hole in it. The point of yes hole, not hole, is only if it's connected to the ground. You can have a flower pot without a hole, but if it's sitting outside, and it's a material that the Gemara or Rishonim hold as porous, then it might as well be an otzitz nakuv, even if you look at it and you don't see a hole. So that's an otzitz nakuv because it's porous, and the plant will be said to get sustenance from the ground. If it's sitting on concrete, then under the concrete is sand or earth or dirt, and it's not enough of a block, and therefore it's a porous material. Again, it's otzitz nakuv. It's otzitz nakuv, right? It's for all intents and purposes, it's nakuv. Eino nakuv. Again, it doesn't matter if there's a hole in it or not. It matters if there's something blocking it and the ground. L'chora logic says, although it's not clear how high is high, that if it's high enough off the ground, so then it might as well be considered an otzitz she'eino nakuv, because it's not getting sustenance from the ground. But in halacha, the fact that there's air between the plant and the ground is not a reason enough to say it's okay. The Gemara says it does, the air is not enough of a hefsek to create an otzitz she'eino nakuv. And so the material that will be under your pot, flower pot, to create an otzitz she'eino nakuv will be a hard plastic or metal, matches. Most poskim allow glass also, even though, yes, glass is cheres and this, but they allow glass. And so either a hard plastic or nylon, it says in all the plastic wrap, a thickish plastic wrap, or glass, or metal for sure. Now, so you have an otzitz, you've created an otzitz, she'eino nakuv. So now, you're not allowed to do anything with it outside, right? We assume that the halachas it says about an otzitz she'eino nakuv, that it's midrabanon, from a maestros. And the Rabbanon, all the surim of an otzitz nakuv apply. We assume it applies to shviyas too, although it happens not to be explicit about shviyas anywhere in Shas. But we assume, all the poskim assume, that it's a problem if it's outside the Rabbanon. So outside you can't have a plant. Outside meaning if the leaves lean over. Inside means there's a roof and probably walls as well. That's called inside. It's in a bias. Outside means outside. In a mirpeset without a roof is called outside. So you say, yeah, but my mirpeset is high off the ground. Yeah, well, again, how high is high? And this concrete. Concrete is not something that's considered a hefsek. And there might be a layer of sand, like in the concrete. So your flower pot is maybe up in the air, but maybe there's no hefsek between it and essentially what's sand. So it's outside. Oh, that, okay. I'm sorry. That really would make it already an otzitz nakuv, even. I'm talking about even if it's eino nakuv, if you put a metal plate underneath, but if it's outside, it's also midrabanan. If it's not in a bias. So outside, you can't have even a flower pot that's eino nakuv, even if you create an eino nakuv situation. But you can't do it outside. Now, what about inside, in the bias? So, most poskim allow an otzit to do malacha. Now, again, if you want to water it just enough that it shouldn't die, that you can do even if it's outside. Mamish, an otzit's not good outside. Forget about the otzits. You can have your plant, your flowers outside, and you're only going to water it on Shemitah. Watering is only midrabanan, it's not a deoraisa. So you're only going to water it enough that it shouldn't die. That's fine. Now we're talking about watering it regular, right? Giving it all the growth hormones that they give plants. You're going to talk to the plants to make them grow better. So that you can do, the poskim allow doing it inside the house in an otzitz she'eino nakuv. So if you have both elements, an otzitz she'eino nakuv. If it's in a bias and it's an otzitz nakuv, no good. Rather, there's a shita that's meikil, the pas hashulchan, but he's not followed. It's not normative halacha at all. If it's an otzitz nakuv in the bias, it's considered to be osur. And again, it might be an otzitz nakuv, even if it's high up, and even if you have tiles, but what are the tiles made out of? Could be halachically they're porous. So, you know, you have to play around a little. You have to ask a poisik. You say, come on, I'm on the second floor. I'm not on the komat karka. Even the komat karka has machsanim underneath. And I'm on the second floor. And I, you know, is that enough to be enonokov? Maybe that in itself is enough to be enonokov. You have to ask a shayla and describe the situation. You can always put a metal plate underneath or a glass plate underneath. And then, for sure, it's enonokov. Enonokov in the bias. You can do what you want. Maybe, yeah. What?
Table,
wood might not be enough. I mean, it's sitting on the table. Your wife lets you put a plant on the table. You put a glass plate underneath, and you're okay. Now, this is a plant in the house. One of the things Otsa Haaretz, if that's one of the gufim of Shemitah, which I encourage people in my shul to sign up for it. Otsa Haaretz, one of the things they grow in a chamama on an otzet she'eno nokov. A chamama is a greenhouse, a hothouse, whatever it is. Chamama. Well, we're in Israel. Chamama. And so they say that's a bias, and they use a very thick plastic there, and it's otzet she'eno nokov. They're very machmir. They don't allow just some yoitzazayin piece of plastic. It's heavy duty. But it's in a chamamah. They say a chamamah is a bias, and therefore they're growing an otzet she'eno nokov in a bias, and that stuff they will mark it under their hashgacha, but it won't have kedusha shvius. They'll do any malacha in the world to it, and they'll consider it to not have kedusha shvius. It'll be in the bin of non-kedusha. I don't know if you'll know if it's from what they call matzah menutak. That's what they're growing. That's what they call it. But that they consider that to be okay. Others are machmir and say that that's not called a bias because it's a bias that's made to grow plants in. So when you talk about in a bias you could be makil, it's because a bias is not a soda. So it's already an abnormal way of growing something. But a hothouse is not abnormal. Others say, look, it's not exposed, you're not open to rain, you're not getting sunshine, you're not getting rain. And it is sort of an abnormal way of growing something. So that's one of the issues that are out there. But that's where that comes from. The matzah menutak of Otsa Haaretz comes from this din. By a plant, everybody's makil. That certainly in a house, that a matzah, that otsa she'eno nokov in the house, again, you can do what you want to it. That's the deal. If you're ready to just water your plant on shvius as much as necessary, it shouldn't die, then you don't have to worry, yes, nokov, not nokov, in the house, out of the house. If the leaves are going over the sides, then even if you've created an otzit she'eno nokov situation, but if the leaves are out in the air, then already you're not in the otzit nokov you're not in the otzit she'eno nokov matzah, because the leaves are now in an otzit nokov, because they're directly above the ground. Again, but they're high up, so theoretically you could create an otzit she'eno nokov if it's high enough, and certainly if you put anything under it, you've created an otzit she'eno nokov. So, ask a shayla if you're not sure, and the whole shayla will be to water it as much as you want, and to fertilize it as much as you want, and to give it, do whatever you want. If you're prepared to just do the minimum, then you don't have to ask a shayla. If you have to move a plant in Shemitah, don't move! Uh-oh, what am I doing? Am I putting it from the house to the Mirpeset? That's a problem, right? Because the Mirpeset is already not the bias anymore. So I've created a plant that's now not in the bias, so I can't go continue doing anything to it. Maybe I can't even, if I pick it up from an eno nokov situation and I put it in a nokov situation, I've planted on Shemitah. So people that move on Shemitah, or if they want to buy a plant even from a store, or whatever, a greenhouse, whatever, wherever they sell plants, a nursery. Not the, with your kids, with the other nursery. Right? You want to buy that, and even if it has a hashgacha, you want to make sure that the things you're buying there were not grown on Shemitah and malachas were done. But when you carry it to your car, they will tell you how to carry it to your car in a way that is not a problem.
Since you worry about the leaves,
yeah,
making it like a knuckle, oh, should you worry about mushrooms? which mushrooms don't get any illegal from domain.
Right, so mushrooms are not a problem. Okay. Now we're going to talk about fruit. The things that are, this is, we're leaving the field of agricultural avodos, and we're moving on to food, produce, things that are growing, yes, having kedusha, not having kedusha. So I'm going to go through a bunch of terms, like a dictionary. We'll give you a dictionary, a glossary, so that you're familiar with the terms and it doesn't look strange to you. So first of all, shishis is the sixth year. Now there are different halachas for different kinds of produce. What makes a fruit a shishis fruit is not what makes a vegetable a shishis vegetable. Fruit, kitnius, zroim, tavua, they all have different rules what makes them a shishis fruit and what makes them a shvius fruit. With yirakos, vegetables, you follow when it was picked. So boom, on Gimel Tishrei, or this year Dalet Tishrei, you already have a seventh year yerek, a seventh year vegetable, because you picked it in the seventh year. Fruit is not like that. Fruit you follow when it's a third of its growth, or even earlier, some say. It depends what the word chanata means, but we'll assume that all the shittas of chanata take place in the same year, because really, for the most part, it does. It takes place in the same calendar year, both shittas and chanata. So fruit are not going to be Shvius fruit till the fruit that grew a third of its growth in the seventh year hits the marketplace. Now that's not, I mean, not till Pesach for sure, and probably sometime after Pesach. So there will be shishis fruit in the market for a good few months, but yirakos, shvius yirakos, will be on the market on Dalet Tishrei, depending on where you're getting your vegetables from, depending on what your store, what hechsher you're giving. So that's shishis. Shishis is not kadosh. You say you'll smile, but realize that there are different rules for what makes something a shishis produce. Fruit, vegetables, etc. What? Yeah. Nochri. Nochri means a non-Jew. And if it's indeed owned by a non-Jew, not leased to a non-Jew, and not rented by a non-Jew, but if the field is owned by a non-Jew, so he doesn't have to keep the Torah, and he doesn't have to keep Shemitah. But what about the peiros that grow on his field? So this is for hundreds of years, admittedly when Shemitah was unfortunately not so nogeya for most of Klal Yisrael, the Minag Yerushalayim, as it's called now, it's going to be called Minag Yerushalayim, is that peiros nochri have no kedusha shvius. You don't have to worry. Again, we're talking about the peiros. You're not allowed to work the land, but, well, most holy, you're not allowed to work the land, even if it's owned by a guy. We'll talk about Heta Mechira in a second. But the peiros have no kedusha, so you don't have to worry about wasting it, chomping it up, making juice out of carrots, and all the things we'll be talking about. You don't have to worry if it's, you know, there's no kedusha. So you just, you're not allowed to be over baltashkes, but otherwise, you can just treat it however you want. It has no kedusha. That was Minhag Yerushalayim because that's the Beis Yosef Shita, and that was really the prevalent, that's all that there was for hundreds of years. Chazon Ish changed all of that. It's not really the Chazon Ish, it's the Mabit. The Mabit, who lived in the time of the Beis Yosef, argues very strenuously with the Beis Yosef, and he says that the Peiros of Nochri very much do have kedusha, and you have to treat it with kedusha. And the Chazon Ish, that's Minhag Bnei Brak, we'll now call it, or Minhag Chazon Ish, in contradistinction to Minhag Yerushalayim. And therefore, let's say the Eda Haredis, stores that are under Eda Haredis will sell, let's say, fruits and vegetables ultimately from Nochri. They don't want to start with the system, let's say, that Oitzah Haaretz has, where there's a lot of Jewish agricultural produce grown beheter, reaching the market, of course, with kedusha. It's mostly with kedusha. I say mostly because remember they'll grow things in matzah menutak, which they hold has no kedusha. But nochri, they don't sell any nochri stuff, or at least they don't sell nochri stuff and shmita that's not nochri stuff all 7 years. But the Bedatz will sell Nachri stuff. They, the Haredis I'm talking about, and most Bedatzin. Most Bedatzin, not all, but most will sell Nachri stuff. And there's an assumption with the way they market it that it has no Kedusha. And that's called Minig Yerushalayim. And therefore, Lamasha, when I first moved to Eretz Yisrael, and it was I bumped up against Shemitah like a year or two later, I sailed through the whole year without even knowing it was Shemitah. I didn't have any plants, and my store had an Eidach Haredis Hechsher, and I said, where am I living? Yerushalayim. I'll do Minig Yerushalayim. That's fun. It's great. And I didn't know it was Shemitah. Like, you couldn't tell, so to speak. There are machmirim. But if you're machmir and you want to treat the payers with Kedusha, there's an individual going into the supermarket that sells fruits and vegetables from Eidach Haredis, so that just means they're attesting to the fact that, let's say, it's grown in the field of a Nachri. You don't have to worry that an Isser was done with it, and you're buying and you're helping someone that's doing an Isser. So it's Nachri stuff. And they will assume that you're going to do Minig Yerushalayim and you won't treat it with Kedusha. You can decide to be Machmir and treat it with Kedusha, but then you have to deal with auxiliary problems. There's an Issa Schora, which we'll be seeing. You can't do business with payers that have Kedusha Shvius. The money that you pay for something with Kedusha Shvius itself acquires a Kedusha. So then, how do you deal with that? Am I paying the storekeeper money? He's not going to treat it with Kedusha, but I hold it is Kadosh because I'm buying the Paris and I hold it is Kadosh. Can I give him money? What about the very fact that I'm doing business? That he's making a profit and I'm allowing him to make a profit on payrolls that I consider Kadosh. So to what degree does my Chumrah affect the way I buy the stuff in a store? If there's Kashayla, they have ways of working it out. And you have to sign a shtar shlichus, and they work things out. You pay with a credit card, or he puts it on a bill, and then the money doesn't take kedusha. There are ways of dealing with it, but the main thing is nachri. So nachri stuff, you have to make a decision, or you don't have to make a decision. You have to ask your rav, can I comfortably be mekil and treat it with no kedusha, or should I be machmir like the Chazon Ish and treat it with Kedusha? That's a major issue. I assume, unless you go, again, if it's not an Eitz HaAretz store, then if it's a Dechereidus or other Bedatzim, then you'll be buying Yevul Nachri, as it's called, and you'll have to ask a Shaila if you should be Machmir personally and treat it with Kedusha or without Kedusha. Someone had a question?
Did you know that it was Kedusha, the last two Shemitahs, and you
Yeah, unless you, yeah, yes. You're saying if you kept the Kedusha, the last, if you were Machmeh, the last two, yeah, you should do Atarech Adarim, yes. I'm not saying you should. If you make such a decision, you can try to make Atarech Adarim. And maybe it'll be Matrim, maybe they won't. You have to have a good reason. Okay. Okay. Hetta Mechira. Hetta Mechira is, we know what Hetta Mechira is, really, and it's a kula. The question is if it's really a valid mechira, if it's a serious mechira. Rav Kook Zatzal, who really pushed and instituted in a big way the Hetta Mechira, always insisted, for example, that no malacha be done except malachas derabbanon through a goy. And that insistence has fallen by the wayside, and they don't keep that insistence. Sometimes at the end of the year, Eitz HaAretz will do their own personal mechira, meaning they'll oversee a mechira to a non-Jew, because the consumer appetite is insatiable, and we want everything, the whole Shemitah. No one wants to do without celery for a week. Or they you say, well, I can go without celery for a week. Yeah, but they know better. The consumer doesn't want to go without celery for a week. And woe is to the bedatz that doesn't provide celery for a week. They can shut themselves down in business nowadays. The consumer wants everything. So they will do a mechira, but they will keep all the conditions of Rav Kook Zatzal, and which are very machmer and are very limited and very. The Hetta Mechira that is done by Medinas Yisrael is like hefker. Everything becomes mutter, which is one of the dangers that were pointed out. That if I say, well, you can do it, but if you keep these 10 conditions, then probably 50 years later, they're going to still be doing it without any of the conditions, you can be sure. So that's at the Mechira, which is a kula. and there are people that use it. Again, it certainly assumes that Yevul Nochri has no Kedusha, because that's part of the system, is that there was a Mechira to a non-Jew, and therefore, and it has no Kedusha. If you would hold like the Chazon Ish that the Nochri Tevua has Kedusha, then half the fun of the Mechira is taken away, because you have to treat the Tevua with Kedusha anyway. And many hold that even if it has validity, but you're still not allowed to work the field, and they work the field, so that's what it is, what it is. That's what the words Hatta Mechira mean. Yeah. No, but I will know. That's the, we'll talk about that later. I though to Oretz is, I will be getting information where every fruit, every vegetable, they have codes where it's from. If it's from Matzah Menutak, it's from the borders of outside of Eretz Yisrael. They never do Hetta Mechira alone, what they call Hetta Mechira L'chumra, because they follow all the rules of Rav Kook. They never do it alone. They always do it in conjunction with a Shaila of the southern border. So they'll do Hetta Mechira also. Or other such Shailas, where's Eva Hayarden? So they'll do their Mechira also. They'll never do it alone. But I will be privy, because I know that Hetta Mechira is a dirty word for many people. And maybe it should be. Maybe. Maybe. Did I cover myself well there? I said maybe. And but I know, like, I'm the Nachal Charedi of Yitzhak Haaretz, and they know that we can't touch anything that is called Hetta Mechira, whether you call it Hetta Mechira L'chumra or not Nogea, we can't touch that stuff. So therefore anyway, going further, we have to go, Yitzhak Beis Din, what does that mean? Yitzhak Beis Din presupposes that you're dealing with Peiros that have Kedusha. So if it has Kedusha, it's supposed to be Hefker. What is it being in the store? What are they doing in the store? Why am I paying for it? What's going on? It's Kedusha. Forget about that. I'm not allowed to waste it, and I have to be careful how I throw it out and what I do with leftovers and how I eat it. But what's it doing in the store? I walk into the store and take some. The guy's going to call the police, right? So what happens? Yitzhak Beis Din is a system set up in the times of the Tosefta, really. It's based on the Tosefta, we could say. Where, this is what they're saying. Yitzhak Beis Din also means machsan, yeah? Machsan of Beis Din. So this is what it means. Again, it presupposes you're dealing with Peiros with Kedusha. And Beis Din is overseeing the following process. Now it has a larger meaning because farms sign up with a particular Yitzhak Beis Din. The Yitzhak Beis Din of Machon HaTorah V'Haoretz is called Yitzhak Haoretz. Right, so then to clear up any confusion. There, Yitzhak Beis Din is called Otzar Haoretz. And it's the Beis Din of Machon HaTorah V'Haoretz, Rav Amichai, Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg sits on the Beis Din, from Kiryat Arba, what's the name, Rav Lior sits on the Beis Din. I sit in and get to listen to all the stuff they're discussing. So Yitzhak Beis Din oversees the process, which means I want a tomato on Shvius. And I ask Kedusha Shvius, it was picked on Shvius. Picked, you go follow when it was picked. On Tzom Gedalia, people are going to be in the fields picking tomatoes. I won't eat, how do I get those tomatoes? I'm not going to the field, I'm not driving to get a free tomato. I'm not spending 150 shekel on gears, right, and standing in the hot sun to pick a couple of tomatoes. I want my tomatoes in the bin, in the store. So Beis Din says, okay, it's Hefker. But Klal Yisrael is not coming trampling in the field to get their tomatoes. We're going to pick it for Klal Yisrael. And this is one of the reasons why they want you to sign up beforehand to belong to, let's say, Yitzhak Haaretz. They want you to sign up beforehand and become a chover, because then the shlichus is more serious. Because they can declare, we're acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, but who said they're acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael? Just because they decided they're acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael? So it's more kosher to sign up beforehand, and you're indeed making them your shluchim to go pick the tomatoes that you want. Be that all as it may, the Beis Din, Yitzhak Beis Din, means they'll be picking the fruit, the vegetables, for Klal Yisrael. They'll be shipping it to the stores, because Klal Yisrael is in cities and wants the tomatoes on the shelf in aisle 23, right? We're not going to no field. So it's Hefker, it's Taka Hefker, but the Beis Din is overseeing the process. So they're picking it, they're boxing it, They're shipping it to the stores. They may be hiring the farmer and his workers and paying the farmer and his workers to make sure it grows properly, as we said before, make sure it doesn't die on the vine, and to make sure it gets packed properly, that it doesn't get bruised, and someone has to pay the shipping company, right? And all these people down the food line from the field to your refrigerator all have to get paid, but it's all labor costs. The field, the fruit or the vegetable is taka hefker, and the reason it costs what it costs is because very little of the cost of a produce is the cost of the produce. Hashem made an amazing system. Every tomato has like hundreds of seeds in it, so it's like free food. Hashem gives you free food, but you don't want to grow it in your backyard, and you don't want to travel to get it, and you want to live in the city, and you want tomatoes and celery and green peppers and red peppers and orange peppers and leek, and you want everything. So it has to get to the store. It's all labor costs. And that's not demei shvius. You're not paying for the fruit, per se. You're paying for the labor costs. You're paying for all the costs it takes to get to the store. So it's hefker. It's under the auspices of an otzer based, and they're picking it for you, for Klal Yisrael. They're bringing it to the store. This year, otzer aretz supposedly, hopefully, will have, for example, otzer aretz will... You're not supposed to weigh it out. Fruit with Kedusha, you're not supposed to do business with it. So it's not supposed to be weighed and measured. That was one of the problems in the last Shemitah, where they did it a certain way, so it should be called approximated. But this year, they're supposed to be having sacks of stuff with medium, large, and small sizes, so it's not approximated. There's going to be a price for each size. So we won't be weighing it exactly. Yeah, a question.
Three questions. First
of all, okay, Otsa Bezdin. There are many. Nissim Karelitz has an Otsa
Bezdin. That the farmers are not doing an avoda in the land.
That's one of the things when they sign up farms and they send down mashgiach.
Secondly, aren't these vegetables tomatoes? Svichim,
we're going to get to svichim in a second. It's on my list of terms.
Third.
Just to answer you quickly.
I forgot what third is.
Okay. So that's what Eitzah Beis Din means. They give horos to the farmers, they collect the payros on the payros of Klal Yisrael. So, if you wanna, it's not a joke, but they're distributing it. They're not really selling it, they're distributing it to you. And,
the supermarket makes profit.
What?
The supermarket is making profit.
I'm sorry?
The supermarket is making profit.
They're getting the price that the Beis Din set in order that it would be worthwhile for them to do this distribution. Whether that becomes a joke to us, because we're paying the same amount as we do every year, or not, I'll leave that between you and Hashem and your rabbi. But that's the system. The system is they set the price that will make it worthwhile for them to ship the tomato so that I just have to cross the street and pick up the tomato. Because I'm not going out to the field, but I want a tomato. So that's the idea.
What's the difference if I pay cash or I pay credit card?
If you're paying for the fruit, right, which sometimes is mutter, then the money takes on the kedusha of the payros. But if you pay with a credit card, then the money you ultimately pay your bill with does not take on the kedusha of the fruit. If you're paying just the labor costs, then theoretically it should never take on the kedusha of the payros, because you're not paying for the payros, you're paying for labor. But I think they're machmir, and they say, you know, just to be sure, we don't want money with kedusha floating around, so you should always pay with a credit card. Moving along, one of the things I mentioned earlier in the shiur, that when the Torah says you're not allowed to reap the harvest of Shemitah, it's really just another way of saying reaping it like a balabayas, like you're the owner, but you have to make sure it's like hefker. But there is an isser to reap things in the normal fashion, to cut it down in the normal way. But if you're under the auspices of a Eitzah Beis Din, then the Chazon Ish says it's mutter for them to be kotzer and botzer and do everything, even a lot at a time, massive amounts, and even kederech, the way it's normally done. If it's under, when it's under the auspices of an Eitzah Beis Din. Okay. I have to move along. The word Kedusha Shvius, I'm still in the glossary. Kedusha Shvius says you're not allowed to be mafsid, the food. You're not allowed to throw it in the garbage. You're not allowed to spoil it. You're not allowed to make it not roy lachila. we're learning it in more detail in a few minutes. You're not allowed to even eat it in an unusual way. You have to eat it in the normal way. That's also part of its kedusha. You're eating it, and you're eating it the way it's, and you're treating it the way it's supposed to be treated, the way it's normally treated. You're not doing something unusual, which would be somewhat of a hefsid. A schora, you're not allowed to do business with it. And then there's something called biur, which we will not deal with tonight. That's not nogea till year number 8, where you have to do biur, beis yud ayin vavreif, like biur chametz. You have to do biur on peiros shvius with kedusha. You'll be learning about that. You have a whole year to learn about it. There's something called isur svichin. Isur svichin means anything that really, the isur svichin means that midrabanan, it's anything that is a Shemitah vegetable that people plant every year. Wait till I finish before you get nervous. Is also to eat. The Rabbanon, because they don't want people planting things and saying, oh, it grew by itself. So anything that's planted yearly, annually, and grows has an issus svichin. Has an issus svichin. Fruit do not have an issus svichin. Because fruit, no one's planting a tree on Shemitah to eat the fruit on Shemitah, right? It takes years. So there's no issur svichin on fruit. There's no issur svichin on yevul nochri. There's no issur svichin. Even though it's vegetables, but if a guy grew it, there's no issur. There's no issur svichin on eva yardein stuff, which we'll be seeing, and that's one of the reasons that people, some but they didn't like eva yardein stuff, there's no issur svichin. So what's the big loophole that allows us to have vegetables and things? We said, if you pick it, so picking it determines if it's a shvius fruit or a shishus vegetable. I'm sorry, shvius vegetable or shishus vegetable regarding its kedusha. But the what has become normative halacha is that once it started growing in shishus, just started growing, broke the ground. Once it breaks the ground and started growing in shishus, it's no longer svichin. No more svichin. It's the Rashi Shita in Yerushalmi Shvius, and that's has become normative halacha. From Zalman, didn't like it so much, but the Chazon Ish really prevailed, I think. I mean, that's what they name on. All the Mashal Yitzhak certainly names on that way. You don't have the. It will still have Kedusha Shvius. Your Rukkos have Kedusha Shvius if it was picked in the seventh year. If it was picked on some Gedalia, it's going to hit the stores on Dalet Hey Tishrei, and it's going to have Kedusha Shvius. But unless it's Matzah Menutat, or Yevul Nochri, in other systems. But you won't have the problem of Svichin, because they've certainly started growing in Shishis. That's how you avoid the Issur Svichin. But that's the Issur Svichin, and this is a problem. That's why, if someone grows something on the Hetta Mechira, let's say, and I, Hetta Mechira, my Goros, so even if it would be mutter despite the Aveira that was done, quote unquote, but it would have the problem of Svichin. If it's a vegetable, so it's no better than if it grew by itself. Unless you, if the Mechira was valid, then obviously it belongs to a guy. And Yevul Nochri does no issur svichin. But as far as, let's say, someone who, as the phrase goes, doesn't go by Hetta Mechira, or doesn't want to follow it, so he will not only have the issue of eating shvius produce, which was produced by Isser, from his perspective, but he will also have the svichin, which is unconnected. If it grows by itself, there's also an issur svichin. Okay, Otzitz Nokuv and Eino Nokuv we've covered. There are halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael. Nothing to do with Medinas Yisrael. The halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael, for example, stretch much more north than you can tell from looking at a map of Medinas Yisrael, and much less south than anybody realizes if they look at a map of Medinas Yisrael. So there's borders, and the borders are the halachic borders, but there's something called Ole Mitzrayim, that only Yehoshua made Kadosh when he entered and was Kovesh Eretz Yisrael from the Knanim. He made Eretz Yisrael Kadosh. That Kedusha Lechora dissipated according to most poskim with the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Golos. Ezra was re-mekadesh the land, that's called Ole Bavel. Ole Bavel will mekadesh the land, and that's the Kedusha we have now in Eretz Yisrael, according to most Shittas, and that's a much more limited area than Ole Mitzrayim. Again, I'm not going to go into the maps now, it's a fascinating subject. So there's Ole Mitzrayim and Ole Bavel in terms of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. There is Kedusha Shvius on things that grow in Ole Mitzrayim territory, but the Marshal doesn't know it's a Svichin in Ole Mitzrayim territory, so that's a cooler that you can be knowing in Ole Mitzrayim territory, and other things as well. But Nogeyaz is really the southern border. The southern border of Eretz Yisrael, even Ole Mitzrayim, Ole Bavel, is not clear. It's not so clear. So there's different Shittas. So now you have again, the Eid HaRedis has a pretty northern Arava is the south part of Eretz Yisrael. So they have a pretty northern border, and as you get frumer and frumer, so you get more and more south. Up till the 30th I think the Eid HaRedis, and Eitz HaAretz follows Eid HaRedis in this, I think they follow, it's around a third of the way down if you're going from Be'er Sheva to Eilat. It's approximately a third of the way down. Other go further south, halfway down, two-thirds of the way down. Kemat Be'eilat is Rebel Yashiv, the Chumra, I think it's the 30th parallel it's called, and that's what that's what a number of Bedatzim follow, and if you want it to grow out, to be growing outside of Eretz Yisrael, if you want it to be labeled Chutz La'aretz, Yavul Chutz La'aretz, right? So again, we're not talking about Medinas Yisrael, we're not talking about imports necessarily, but anything that grows outside the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael will be called for halachic purposes Chutz La'aretz, and won't have Kedusha, and it doesn't matter that they work the land, right? There's no Isurim of Shvius outside. So where you put the border is a very big deal. The main issue is the southern border. Eidah HaYardain is also has, if you're talking about the Eretz Sichon and Og, so that has Shvius, but no Issa Svichin, but then you get into Amon and Moav, if you know your map a little, once you veer away in Eidah HaYardain, there's the Sichon and Og part of Eidah HaYardain, and then there's the Amon and Moav part of Eidah HaYardain, and there's no Shemitah problems. And so if you read and they say we're getting stuff from the east of southern Jordan, so you understand what they're trying to do is get from Eretz Amon and Moab and away from Eretz Sichon and Og, and that's what they'll be getting. Two new Gufim have sprung up that I'm aware of that are providing the consumer with fruits and vegetables. You can see me afterwards if you want phone numbers, who to get in touch with, where they'll be distributing stuff in Ramat Beit Shemesh. One of them is going to try with Chutz La'aretz and Shisha stuff the whole year, which nobody thinks is possible. And but also not Nochri. Everybody wants to stay away from Nochri stuff. I mean, that's what they're trying to accomplish, to stay away from Nachri stuff. That's why Eitz HaAretz was formed, to stay away from Nachri stuff and to stay away from Hetta Mechira. That's why Eitz HaAretz was formed, to be Machmir in these two in Yonim, and to embrace really things with Kedusha Shvius, not to run away from it. A lot of people do want to run away from Kedusha Shvius. It's hard. You know, how do you clean up? You have kids in the house. We'll be getting there in Mamish a moment or two. Okay, Matzah, so you have the borders of Eretz Yisrael, the Arava, the Rom Arava, Tzfon Arava, Eva HaYardain, and so on and so forth. Matzah Menutot, we covered already. What will stores have? You gotta find out. It's not even clear. As we speak, Rav Spira told me tonight that our beloved finance minister is making it very, very expensive to bring in produce from Chutz La'aretz. Frightfully expensive. He slapped a huge tax. Or he refuses to remove a tax on anything coming in from Chutz La'aretz, and it's now 3 days before Shemitah, and you want to know who our beloved finance minister is? You know who it is. And he's making it very difficult to bring in stuff from Chutz La'aretz. The army, Rav Spira told me, is trying to accommodate the Haredim that they want to sign up in the army, and they are trying to get only also, they're certainly not going to use Het Mechira, they say. They want to accommodate the Haredim that have now joined up in the army. So that's another issue going on. I think he's writing about it on Yeshiva World News, which Raspira writes for also. Or maybe he'll have it on his own website. These two things he told me tonight are going on. What the army is going to be using, they want to accommodate the Haredim, will the finance minister allow in? Well, like all these Irgunim are planning on making huge imports of produce, and meanwhile it's going to be frightfully expensive. Meanwhile, they're going to see. You know, maybe it won't be Nogay the first few weeks of Shemitah. Everybody has plenty of potatoes stored up. Everybody has plenty of onions stored up. Potatoes, onions, and carrots. Like, we can keep going until Hanukkah on the shishas that we have. Then afterwards, it's going to get dicey, especially if you're eating carrots. That was a joke. Okay. So you have... You'll have either Haredis with their system, Oitzoritz has their system. I encourage the Oitzoritz system in the shul. You have Het Mechira, and you have other Ergunim, there's something, Kal Haredim is I think one of them names, Rav Kook of Rehovos, and a few Hasidic Shekilos have joined together. I think they also mainly give horos to farmers, and their stuff will be mostly Kedusha stuff. And you have the neighborhood Mechira that's being run in different areas in Eretz Israel, and they're going to try to get away without any Kedusha, again, the whole year, which some people consider not practical. Okay, let's talk about the... Wait, let me just... because I'm going to get my head handed to me. But there are sign-up sheets to get Shemitah-related email updates. Okay? I guess that's me. Yeah. If you already signed up for Kashrus emails, you don't have to sign up again. If you already received a few emails this past week, you don't need to sign up again. Okay? It is 11:10. Oh, 11:25. Okay, now the final lap, please. I'm going to get my head handed to me if I don't finish. The final lap is the Din of Kedusha, that the fruit's kadosh. What do? I have tomatoes in my house. Can I give my kid in the high chair? Can I give him a banana to eat? A Shemitah banana. Bananas are not svichim, by the way, because they grow many years at a time. So there's no problem of svichim with bananas. Anyway, it's kadosh, and that's something that should be significant to us. Rabbi Michai Shlita told me, I remember, Leah Shmita, he told me from Mitzah Haaretz, he's really the main person there, I consider him the main person. He told me the first time he bit into a tomato with Kedusha Shvius, he got very emotional, he started crying. Because it's kadosh, that's Shabbos Lashem. And the dinim of the Kedusha, as I say, you know, you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to drink it, you're allowed to use it in the normal way that it's used, but only in the normal way that it's used. I just saw an example in a sefer. You can't, some people like to fry bananas, or tigun, what's tigun? To fry. They like to fry banana chips. That you can't do. If you want to do something on Shemitah that's too unusual, get a heck of a lot of people to do it also, for 6 years. No, it's very serious. All you need is that it should be the derech to eat it that way. So maybe by the time next Shemitah will roll around, you'll be able to eat fried bananas. You just got to get enough people to do it for 6 years. If something is only eaten raw, you're not allowed to... If something is eaten raw and not cooked, you're not allowed to cook it. If something is only eaten cooked, you're not allowed to eat it raw. I don't care how healthy raw potatoes are. Takes away warts. I don't know what it does. But you're not allowed to eat a raw potato. And you're not allowed to cook... I don't know, you're not allowed to cook a banana. Really, you see, you have to eat it the derech in which it's eaten. Many things are eaten both ways. You can eat an apple, you can have a baked apple. It doesn't matter that the majority of its use is one way. As long as it's considered normal to eat it the other way, that's okay. It's not charig. You can make ices if you end up with Shemitah grape juice, or Shemitah wine, or Shemitah apples. Shemitah juice, you could freeze it. That's not considered, that's okay. Now, what do you do with remnants? You're not allowed to be mafsid. This is the famous Pach Shemitah now comes into play. What's a Pach Shemitah? I didn't know Shemitah's knowing by Pachim. The concept is, you have leftovers. Now the leftovers, if it's roi, if you have leftovers that are not roi l'achila for whatever reason, nobody would eat that. not even a poor person. Like, no one would eat that. It's disgusting. Then it's not Kaddish anymore, and you can throw it into the garbage. Most people will not. They'll be nervous. Maybe it is royal achila. How do I know if it's not royal achila? So they'll be nervous. But if it's not, if something becomes not royal achila, and that's why people keep soup, which might have been made with shvius yirakos, and then the whole soup becomes kadosh, but then there's leftover soup, what do I do? So they just keep it out of the refrigerator overnight, and it's already not royal achila, and then you can just throw it out. What? Achilas behema also. We'll get to that. Pashtus, it has to be one. If it's still royal achila, whether Adam or behema, then it still retains kedusha shviya. So you're not allowed to be mafsidit. The thinking is, if I throw it in the garbage can, I'm being mafsidit. I'm making it not royal achila. I'm making it disgusting. I'm making it repulsive. And you're not allowed to do that. It's a hefsid. There's kedusha shviya, and I'm not allowed to be mafsidit. So some people might say, why can't I do the old double wrap trick? I'll double wrap everything and I'll throw it in the garbage that way, and it's protected from getting spoiled. Theoretically, I guess you could. If it's protected, anachnami, you could. By the time it gets out to the garbage and they landfill, I don't know what they do to it, and they pulverize it, it's probably not going to be royal achila anymore. But you weren't mafsid it by putting in the garbage can if you had this protection. But people don't do that. The poskim frown upon it. I guess, you know, because b'hemshech hazman, you're going to cut back on the wrapping and you're not going to be careful. It'll open up maybe. They prefer the pachshmita, as it's called, where you throw, where all you have in the pachshmita is things that are still ro'i la'achila, so it has kedusha. But you're not going to spoil it by throwing it in the regular garbage. You're just going to have the pachshmita. The problem with the pachshmita becomes after one day or 2 days, and the pachshmita is sitting there, and now there's stuff in it that's starting to spoil. Can't throw it in the garbage yet because it's not mama spoiled yet. But it might spoil other food you put in. So Monday's kedusha stuff will now hit Sunday's kedusha stuff. And what have you gained out of the pachshmita? Yes, you can have a pachshmita for every day of the week. That would be nice, and then you just take it. But some people just, I heard some people say just put a layer between the days, but then you want to get to the bottom one, you want to throw out the bottom one once it spoils, but the top one didn't spoil yet. I guess you can make little garbage bags in your pachshmita, and then essentially you're labeling each day, and every day you put it in a different bag, so you don't have this problem. Okay. Again, if something does not have kedusha shviyas, you don't have to do this. We're dealing with something that has kedusha shviyas, so there's an issa hefsid, and you're allowed to throw paper into the pachshmita. It's not that kadosh. Paper will not ruin the food that you throw in, right? So that's okay. Well, you're having the pachshmita so that the food shouldn't get ruined, but you can put anything in the pachshmita that's not going to ruin it. Okay. You can't put any. Don't pour coke into it. Coke will ruin any food. Okay. So you're not allowed to be mafsid it be a diet, but you could keep something overnight out of the refrigerator and allow it to spoil. Now sometimes the line between doing it be a diet and being gorem hefsid is not such a clear line. If you put something in the sun and it'll spoil in an hour, is that biyadayim or is that a grama? If you put it outside where the sun will reach in 2 hours, is that biyadayim or is that a grama? If you put it outside at night and then the next day will come and the sun will come out and spoil it, is that called only a grama or is that called biyadayim? These are all shailas you have to ask. The rule of thumb is that you're allowed to be goyrim hefsid to Kedusha Shviyas, as I say, Goyrim mean like something like keeping out of the refrigerator, or anything that would be called only a grama. Most hold, it's okay, but you can't do it via Dayim. Banana peels, are they royal achila for animals? Then you can just throw them in the garbage, regular garbage. Things that are not royal achila. Now there is a discussion in the poskim. I was not able to get a clarity in it. I don't know if it's called we have animals around or not. I don't know, there are a lot of cats around. I don't know, so maybe there are animals around. Things that are roi only for animals to eat, but if there's no animals around where you live, so I'm not sure how that applies, because maybe there are. Maybe there are animals around. People have dogs, people have cats. There's always the zoo everybody goes to, so I'm not sure. So I'm not sure how this applies, but there is a discussion in the postgame if you have to, if things that are roi lebehema in a place where there's no behemoth, whether that retains its kedusha or not. So just something, it's an interesting idea. It's a discussion. I wasn't able to get a clarity on what's normative halacha, but as I say, maybe it's not nogea. Okay, maybe there really is animals around. They just keep them out of, away from me. Okay. You could put anything that's normal you're allowed to do. If you want to put an ingredient, you want to make a, someone asked about a banana cake. Anything that's considered normal, you can do. So if it's normal to put a banana into a cake and make a cake out of the banana, that's fine. That's a normal thing to do.
Can you feed your animals?
Only if it's not roi la'adam, but it is roi la'behema. So if it's roi la'behema, it still retains kedusha. It can't be wasted, but you can't feed an animal something that a person could still eat.
Even if you have nothing else to feed the animal, you need
Yes. Right. You can only feed an animal kedusha shviyas if it's only roi lebehema. Ochel adam, you can't feed to an animal. Okay. One of the things you cannot do with something that has kedusha shviyas, interestingly enough, is make a medicine out of it. Even if it's the derech, even if it's normal to make a medicine out of this particular ingredient, and it's a food ingredient. But you cannot. That's one of the things to create medicine that's only for sick people. It's not for all people. It's only for cholim medicine. You can't make trufa out of things with kedusha shviyas. Okay. I've mentioned peels. Peels are usually not royal achila. How careful if you have kedusha shviyas produce. Apple peels, by the way, are obviously royal achila. And if you don't want to eat them, you have to put them in the Pach Shemitah. We'll just use that as a phrase, meaning they retain the Kedusha. What about potato? Okay, potato peels no one's eating. Unless they do eat them. But how careful do you have to be to peel it? Uh-oh, I got too much potato on this peel. Right? And that's already a food. Potato in the peel. Can you peel it a thick, right? Cut away without being so careful. So there's a shaila, you have to ask your post, like the Chazon Ish was mekil, that you can just peel it and don't worry about it. Others are more machmir, etc. You're allowed to peel anything. The question is, do the peels retain the kedusha? And the answer to that is, if the peels are roi l'achila, if they're eaten, so, I don't know, again, some people will do anything. Believe me. So, no, I'm serious. So you have to find out if it's considered normal or it's considered unusual. I don't know, you know, again, you can't eat something that's, you have to cook, you can't eat raw. What about cauliflower? More and more people, I don't know, are eating, it's really no gay of the bracha on raw cauliflower too. Is it charcoal or is it hadama? How normal is it to eat raw cauliflower? So that's a shayla. You have to ask your posek, can I eat raw cauliflower on Shvius? Again, if it has Kedusha Shvius, all this is presupposing the Kedusha. So whenever you cut up vegetables that they have Kedusha, you have to watch out in the leftovers. Right? You can't just throw it out. I don't understand how any yeshiva can have Kedusha Shvius food. I don't get it. How do you clean up? You have a meal. Unless you just put everything, but you can't put everything in the Pach Shemitah either. Because the stuff that doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas, it might have a deleterious effect on the Kedusha Shviyas stuff. If you have like remnants, like, you know, the plate's dirty, that's not Kedusha Shviyas. That you don't have to worry about. If the plate's dirty, or, you know, basically if you would call it dirt, not leftovers, then it doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas either.
What is matzah menutak?
What? Matzah menutak is, I told you, I did mention it, Matzah Menutak is the way Oitzah Ha'aretz, what it means is you're growing it in a hothouse in an Otzitz She'eno Nokuv. That's what they call Matzah Menutak. And they grow things. Oitzah Ha'aretz uses Matzah Menutak and they consider it to have no Kedusha. Okay. Wait. Yes, you can feed your child Kedusha Shvius stuff, although some people won't. And therefore, again, some people consider Kedusha Shvius to be a burden. You can give it to your child, but yes, you have to watch out when you clean up, because 3/4 of the banana are on the floor. You can give it to him, even though he's going to smash it and mash it and make it not royal achila. That's okay, as the post can stay, and as every mother knows, and many fathers, that's how a child eats. So that's considered the normal way for him to eat. But you do have to clean up afterwards, because if there are pieces on the floor that are ro'oy la'achila, so you can't just, you know, giving it to a tino, despite the fact that he's going to ruin it and make it not ro'oy la'achila, that's okay, because that's the normal way a tino eats. But you do have to be careful after he eats to clean up, and there might be pieces that are ro'oy la'achila, and you can't just toss them. Okay. What? Yes, to make it roy to eat for the tinok, you can do. That's the normal way he eats this. If it's normal to feed him this, if you want, yeah. Anything cooked with yerukos of kedusha will acquire kedusha. So if you cook meat with anything with onions, okay, that have kedusha shvius, so now that meat has kedusha shvius. And if you make a soup, now that the water of the soup now gets kedusha shvius from the vegetables that have kedusha shvius.
Is there any kind of pickle?
No. Here's an interesting thing that the post can say. You're not allowed to eat stuff with kedusha, you're not allowed to eat produce with kedusha shvius, achila gasa. Interesting. Achila gasa. Okay. Yeah, and then again, you can't dip. If you end up with Kedusha Shvius wine, you can't pour it off for the Esamakos according to the prevailing minhag that we don't eat. We don't drink the wine that we pour off by the Esamakos, because then you're wasting Kedusha Shvius stuff. And you can't put the Abdullah candle into it. Okay. The last thing I'll just mention. Again, you should know what the terms mean. Shamur v'ne'evad. Shamur means that it was not made hefker. It's shvius stuff growing, and it was not made hefker. It's shamur. The balabayas watched it. That's what shamur means. He didn't make it hefker. He acted like a balabayas. Ne'evad means forbidden agricultural work was done, either to grow it or to maintain it. Shamur v'ne'evad. Now, if someone uses the Het HaMechira to do things, so if I don't like the Het HaMechira, I don't, for whatever reason, so I have to worry about the Isser Shomer Veneva to go eat in this house. That's the problem. It's Shomer Veneavad. That's two different things. But it would be Shomer Veneavad. It would be both. Do I have to worry that that's Usser? Many poskim hold it's Mutter. It's mutter b'di'evit, meaning you're allowed to eat it. It doesn't become something that's usher to eat. And if that's the case, then you don't want to encourage someone to do what you would consider a violation of Shemitah, but at least it's mutter for you to eat. But not vegetables, because vegetables are svichin. So even if shamur v'nevad would be mutter, it's still, there's an issa svichin. Because you're not looking at it that it belonged to a goy, and a goy's stuff has no issa svichin. So to you it's shomer v'ne'evad. So you have to worry about svichin. There are those who hold that shomer v'ne'evad is asur. So that becomes a shaila. And again, the social interaction shmita is sometimes very difficult. And okay, that's all. You cannot use it for Hanukkah candles. No, that's called for a mitzvah. That's not called for a regular use. Rav Alperin is speaking in 15.